How are you?
Well, good.
House Transportation will come to order and welcome everybody. And this will be the last transportation meeting of this February session. And we are working on a little shortened time frame and members who will be coming and going. So with that, I'm going to get us started. And I'm going to invite up Travis Brower and Jerry Bohard. Welcome.
Thanks. Chair Beyer, members of the committee, Travis Brower. I'm ODOT's Federal Affairs Advisor, and I am here to talk today about some of the accomplishments that the state of Oregon and local stakeholders have done under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which was passed a year ago last week, or signed into law a year ago last week. The Recovery Act to date has provided Oregon nearly $500 million in surface transportation funding, and it has made some pretty important improvements to our multimodal transportation system, and also created many jobs across the state. And while I think there's still a bit of a debate in Washington, D.C. about the jobs created under the Recovery Act, I think there has been bipartisan agreement that transportation has been one of the shining stars of the Recovery Act and has been responsible for a large portion of the job creation under the Recovery Act, particularly a very large portion of the private sector job creation under the Recovery Act. Of the $500 million in Recovery Act surface transportation funding that has come to Oregon, most of that was under the highway program. $334 million in formula funding came to the state of Oregon. Of that, $100 million was directed into the legislation to local governments, and ODOT had jurisdiction over the remaining $234 million. That money was spread across the state in hundreds of projects, large, small, of various types and sizes, and it's made very important contributions to the state's transportation system. We've had projects that will add capacity to the highway system and reduce congestion. We have done projects that will improve signal timing in the Portland metro region and have a very significant impact on traffic flow for a relatively low cost. We have provided significant money to public transportation that will improve transportation options. There are certainly a number of freight projects funded under the bill that will help Oregon companies move their goods to market. And in general, we saw a very large portion of the Recovery Act money going into preservation type activities across all modes of transportation. So really, the Recovery Act will certainly help bring the transportation system up to a state of better repair. The Recovery Act was a very unique opportunity, in particular, to use funds for multimodal improvements. Typically, our federal funds that come to the state of Oregon and to local governments can be used for highways and public transportation and bicycle pedestrian infrastructure. For the first time, the Recovery Act allowed us to use funds for rail projects, both passenger and freight rail, as well as port improvements. And given this opportunity, ODOT opened up the funding that was provided to the state and directed some of that money into multimodal opportunities. For example, one of the cranes at the Port of Portland's Terminal 6, the only international container terminal in the state, was refurbished under this. This is an important project that will help ensure that the port can continue to move containers through their terminals. There were also rail projects and a variety of other projects, much along the lines of the direction the Oregon legislature has given us in the Connect Oregon program. So I think you've seen that ODOT is truly a multimodal transportation department and made sure that highway funds, or the funds coming from the federal government, were directed to important multimodal improvements. Local governments also received significant amounts of money for projects. So far, I have not been able to find a state that was more generous in sharing money with local governments. In addition to the $100 million that was set aside that went to metropolitan planning organizations, all cities with a population over 5,000 and counties, ODOT also, in agreement with local governments, set aside money for cities under 5,000 and gave grants of about $100,000 each to 52 small cities and Native American tribes, and then offered them the opportunity to take state funds in lieu of federal funds. So the map that you have in your testimony that shows dots all across the state, we really should add 52 more dots to that, showing where state funds went that were enabled by the Recovery Act, and that would show even a broader distribution of funding. One of the directions in the Recovery Act was to ensure that money was given, or the priority was given to funding projects in economically distressed areas. In the state of Oregon, the majority of the state is an economically distressed area, defined as having higher unemployment rate for long periods of time and lower per capita levels of income. 54% of the state's population lives in economically distressed areas, but under the investment strategy that ODOT did, 65% of the state's funding went to economically distressed areas, so it will help create jobs in those areas where jobs are needed most. As I mentioned earlier, ODOT selected a large number of projects of all types and sizes. In my initial analysis of the data nationwide, it looks like Oregon and North Dakota were the two states with the smallest average project size, which is very important because it means that we didn't just put all of the money into a few big projects that would likely benefit only a few areas of the state or perhaps go to outside, out-of-the-state contractors. We funded projects of all sizes, shapes, and types, from the largest modernization projects down to small sidewalk improvement projects, from a port crane rehabilitation to public transportation projects. That meant that contractors all over the state and communities all over the state were able to benefit, and also that contractors and other businesses in a wide variety of industries and workers across a large number of professions were able to benefit. The glossy accomplishments report that you have included in your packet of testimony shows some of that variety, from commercial construction workers building a transit facility in Hood River to the Port of Portland's crane, which involved repainting, to repainting a railroad bridge here in Salem in a very labor-intensive activity, to laying down asphalt. So a wide variety of workers were involved in this. As a result of this investment strategy, ODOT and the state of Oregon are near the top of the nation in terms of actually getting money into the hands of contractors and workers. We just last Friday completed obligation of all of our highway program funds. That put us in the top tier of states that are beginning to complete that work now in advance of the March 2nd deadline. And looking at the actual expenditures of money, Oregon has expended 42% of our highway program funds that have remained with the Federal Highway Administration. The national average is about 24%. So we are running well ahead of the national average in the top 10, and that means that our economic activity has been front-loaded in the Recovery Act rather than pushed out, and jobs are being created sooner rather than later. Under the very narrow definition of jobs that the federal government has used to quantify jobs under the Recovery Act, we've created about 465 direct on-project jobs. That is very consistent with our estimates of 14 jobs per million of economic or of highway construction, but a very different methodology. The federal government counts only the person working on the project site, does not count the truck driver delivering rock from an aggregate facility, does not count the workers at the aggregate facility, does not count the maintenance workers who fix up the machines and maintain them, and does not count the restaurant owner who has to hire additional employees because of all the construction workers coming in for lunch. Nor does it count the impact of jobs retained when businesses choose to locate here or stay in the state because of a more efficient transportation system. So we would expect that over the course of this program, we're about halfway through the program, and the 465 jobs is based on a third of our highway program funds being expended, that will produce about 3,000 jobs on the highway side, perhaps more depending on how the methodology stacks up, and that the transit side of the equation will also contribute about another 1,000 jobs. So you can see that there is a pretty substantial impact on the Oregon economy and will pay off with benefits for years to come.
you. Questions? Anyone?
Yes. Since Representative Schaffler's not here, I'd like to congratulate you on creating jobs for Oregon. And let's just hope that through the process of what we're doing and what you guys are doing, that we can create more jobs and keep them stable. So that is in honor of Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. He will appreciate that.
Yes.
So Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the money that hasn't been spent yet, has it been allocated, and when will it be spent?
Chair Beyer, Representative Benz, there is a multi-stage process for actually getting the money spent. And on the highway program side, it's done as a reimbursement. And so some people have criticized it for actually expending money a little bit more slowly than, say, the Social Security Administration, which mailed out checks to senior citizens under the Recovery Act. Well, imagine if senior citizens had to go make purchases, get their receipts, mail them to the federal government, and then get repaid. In this case, what happens in the highway program is all the funding has been allocated by the Transportation Commission and local governments. The next step then is to prepare the plans and specifications, send them to the Federal Highway Administration for obligation. We have done that. All the money is obligated. We would expect that almost every one of ODOT's projects is either under construction or complete. Local governments will be kicking off many of their projects in the next few months when the construction season opens, and I would guess that the vast majority of the Recovery Act money will be paid out by the federal treasury by the end of this construction season, so by the end of October or November.
Follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe you could share with us how much money wasn't needed, shall we say, because of lower construction costs, and what additional benefit did we, the state, receive as a result of those lower costs? Or if I'm assuming lower costs, and there weren't any, you can tell us that too.
Mm-hmm. Chair Beyer, Representative Benz, overall, the bids came in about 15% lower than the initial engineer's estimates. And that is pretty significant because for several years they seem to be coming in a little bit above our estimates. And so that was a significant savings that allowed reallocation to a number of projects. For example, given the flexibility in the Recovery Act, some of the money was used to purchase trains to continue the Amtrak service in the Willamette Valley. And there were a number of other projects that were added to the list of projects, and other projects that for some reason came in above budget were able to be made whole. For example, the Port of Portland needed a couple $100,000 extra for the Terminal 6 crane, and we were able to allocate that to them out of those leftover funds.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none. Thank you. Good job to you guys.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, committee members. So for the record, I'm Jerry Bohart. I'm the Division Administrator for the Transportation Development Division. And I thought I'd just give you a brief update of where we are on the Connect Oregon process. I think as you're all aware, and you have a brochure in front of you, that we've been successful in the last three legislative sessions in identifying $100 million of lottery funds to connect 1, 2, and 3. And these are for, as Travis referenced, multimodal. So we're looking at aviation, marine, rail, and transit projects. I think in the bill for Connect 1 and in the bill for Connect 2, there's a series of what we call considerations in how we selected our projects. There were some, three of them remained the same. Two of them are different. And I bring this up because it affects how we essentially looked at job creation. In Connect 1, there was a requirement for when a proposed transportation project creates construction and permanent jobs in the state. So to really look at those numbers. And again, we followed the same criteria as Highway, looking at the $17 to $14 million expended. And then with regards to two other criteria, we actually made some changes in Connect Oregon, which really talked about when a proposed transportation project reduces transportation costs for Oregon business. So that was similar to what was in Connect Oregon 1, but improves access to jobs or sources of labor. So it was really getting at some of the other aspects of connecting jobs to the workers. And so, again, with regards to that, to track the jobs that we had for Connect One, what we did was we went back and we looked at the applications for Connect One and for Connect Two. And in the case of Connect One, the applicants indicated that approximately 2,145 permanent jobs were sustained or created, and that additional 2,640 short-term construction jobs were created as a result of construction spending. We were not able to verify the methodology that the applicants used on this, but I would note that, and if you look in the, I think in the brochure, you can see the breakdown, but we currently funded under Connect One 38 projects. 29 of the projects have been completed, 5 are under construction, and 4 more are going through the final design phase. In the case of Connect Two, here, again, looking at what the applicants had put for their applications, they identified approximately 7,463 jobs that would be created or retained through the funding, but they did not report on permanent or construction jobs. The one thing I would note through the application process, which was really key to the selection of the projects through our modal committees and our regional committees, is that the applicants were required to identify if it improved an existing connection or a new connection to an employment center, how it linked workers to their jobs, and how it benefited the Oregon economy. So clearly that was information that our various committees used in selection of the projects. The brochure identified a number of projects and where the status is. Some additional projects that I think are of interest. When we went through the final review committee, there was one the Mount Hood Railroad. I think that was kind of like the Cinderella story for Connect Two. They had lost a portion of their track due to flooding in 2006, and they weren't able to operate. So the $700,000 that came out of Connect Two improved the hillside where the flooding had occurred, replaced the track, and they were able to. They were the first project that was completed under Connect Two, and they were currently under operation. In the case of aviation, in Coos Bay, there's the Southwest Oregon Regional Airport finished a tower and all the communications that's necessary. And just last month, the FAA approved them for operation. So that was just in January of 2002. In the case of Marine, Port of Astoria did some improvements to its one of its piers, clearly important to their seafood cluster processing that they do, and also just the other moorage activity that occurs in the Port of Astoria. And finally, the other one that I think that's of interest, in Central Oregon, they've actually put together a regional intermodal center. I think many of you are aware, you have Bend and Redmond and Prineville and others that are just starting kind of their transit system. They have shuttles. They have various bus companies, and so this intermodal center will allow us to not only gain the efficiencies out of the transit facilities that already exist, but will allow for efficiencies for the workers to get from one place to the other, or for people to move around Central Oregon more easily than they have been able to do in the past. So with that, I would just conclude and let you know the status of where we are in Connect Oregon 3. The applications were completed around Thanksgiving. They went through what we call a feasibility analysis. Our modal committees are in the process of reviewing them. I think they have until about the middle of March. And then our regional committees will look at them. Our final review committee is scheduled to meet the second week of June. Our commission will take action, have a public hearing in July, and then we'll take action on the project list in August for the Connect 3 projects. And the only thing I would add to that, I think you all recall that $5 million was set aside for rural airports. That process is taking a slightly different step, and that is FAA will provide us a list of projects, and talking to the aviation department, we should see the list of projects that they're going to fund around April. And so the applications for the match funds will occur in May, and so that will dovetail then into the final review committee. So we're hoping we'll have the information from FAA, and then it will go into the process that we have for our commission. So if all goes well, by August, we will have allocated another $100 million of funds towards aviation marine transit. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jerry, Corp, a railroad company in Southern Oregon that also used to go to the coast, we pulled the funding on their southern rail yard. Can you tell me where that is? I'm understanding that Corp is suing the state. Do you have any update on the information on that?
I have not been part of that conversation. I was not staffed to Connect Oregon, and Kelly Taylor, who is the Division Administrator for Rail, has been involved in that process. So maybe I apologize.
Maybe you could get an answer to me.
Okay.
Or have Kelly come by.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any new or different standard being applied to the Connect Oregon 3 allocation having to do with the state of the economy? Are you changing in any way the rules that apply to how you're going to make these decisions by virtue of the state of the economy?
No, the considerations in the legislation stay the same from Connect 1 to Connect 2. I think, however, in the review process of what is the economic impact, we've improved that process from Connect 2 to Connect 3, where we've actually working with both the economists at ODOT as well as the economists at the Oregon Business OBDD to analyze exactly what's in the application and what that will, how successful they really will be. So that, and that information is provided to both our modal committees and our regional committees.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Edwards.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Jerry, in terms of the balance of applications across modes, have you seen the applications for Connect 3 mirror the approximate modal applications for Connect 1 and 2, or is it different?
Chair Beyer, Representative Edwards, the applications that we saw percentage-wise pretty much did mirror what we saw in Connect 2, mm-hmm. with a caveat that we didn't see as many aviation projects because many of them are waiting until May to bring forward their application.
Do you know the approximate total dollar amount of the applications received to date? Does it exceed the monies allocated by the legislature?
Chair Beyer, Representative Edwards, in our testimony, you can see that right now there's 97 applications that have been submitted, and for a total of $251 million, which is, in fact, $35 million more than Connect 2 and about $20 million more than Connect 1, and it doesn't reflect, again, what we may see in aviation.
Thank you. And before I let you go, I noticed that you have at least a few comments in here about the Go Oregon project, and you didn't really touch on it, but is, I don't know if anyone has questions about that, or...
I believe that was in your testimony.
Yes, Chair Beyer, there was some information provided in my testimony about Go Oregon that I neglected to mention. So far, ODOT has completed 96 Go Oregon projects, and a total of 568 workers have been employed on these projects, so that there has been substantial success in putting people to work through that state investment as well. And we're projected to spend about $3.6 million of the $175 million made available. And I'd note also that we made an extra special effort to get money out to smaller businesses, emerging small businesses, women-owned, minority-owned, and disadvantaged businesses.
Okay. All right. Well, not seeing any other questions, I guess we better move along. And thank you for coming and for the testimony and for all the good work you're doing at ODOT. And I'm going to ask Mike Eliason, Lynn Peters. Leanne Welch and Gary Stockoff, if you can all move towards the front and
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, my name is Mike Eliason. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. I've turned in some testimony, much of which has been already covered by Travis Brower. Also a list of all of the county projects that have come out of the ARRA funding. So I will be extremely brief and just say we appreciate the supportive partnership with ODOT.
Can I stop you a minute? We're going to lose one of our members, and I think he has a quick question.
No, Madam Chair, just forgive me, I have to go to another meeting, but I wanted to welcome Chuck Mickelson from the Public Works Department of Ontario, who drove all the way over for today, and I know he was happy to be here. I don't want him to think I'm leaving just because he's about to get up to testify.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Sure. We just wanted to express that it's been a good partnership with ODOT, and their willingness to share with cities and counties is above and beyond most other states, and that's helped get many smaller projects done across the state, get many smaller contractors to work, and we appreciate that. I'm going to quickly turn it over to Chair, Clackamas County Chair Lynn Peterson, Tillamook County Public Works Director Leanne Welch, and then replacing me at the table will be Capital Projects Manager for Washington County, Gary Stockhoff.
Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, good afternoon. I am here just to tell a little bit of a similar story. When we received our funds, we have been able to put them down on the ground on two specific projects, and there's a map that's being passed out for Clackamas County. But within the unincorporated white area of your map, you'll see that Clackamas County has project number 1 and 2, and those are very heavily traveled roads, which will get asphalt overlays. But we decided to share the majority of the money that we received through the STP rural allocation formula and the $7 million through the Metro MPO, the majority of it with our cities, so that they could do complete projects. So we basically shared with all of our cities. And what you see before you, we've got Oregon City coming up to talk to you later. We feel we can take credit for all of the city's projects as well as our own, because we were partners with them in getting those projects done. And what that has resulted on the ground is a lot of distribution of projects, again, doing a lot of overlays, but also some transit work, as well as some signal timing issues that we had on Sunnyside, so that we can get a better progression and better traffic flow information into our traffic center, so that Sunnyside can be managed even better for the capacity that we have there today. So in all, we were able to create or retain 120 to 140 jobs, which is a great, because it is spread across the entire county, not just on county projects. And again, I think that we were able to keep them small enough so that we were able to keep those jobs in state. So very much appreciate all of the work that was done by ODOT to get funding down, but also we then took it down to the next level and pushed it out to our cities. And I'm proud of the way that we do that, and we work with our cities in that direction, both on state money as well as with regional money, to make sure that our cities are achieving their goals as well.
Thank you. Well, go ahead with the panel, and then if anyone has questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Boone, who's our representative. My name is Leanne Welch. I'm the director of Tillamook County Public Works. Tillamook County is located on the North Oregon coast. We have about 25,000 people in our entire county. Our unemployment rate is bouncing around 10%, and we are an economically distressed area. Over the last 10 years, we've had more federally declared storms than any other West Coast, and we have poor funding mechanisms, so we truly have the worst roads in the state right now. Our original ERA allocation was $626,000, and so we finished a bridge approach that was originally funding with OTIA 3 projects, and OTIA 3 has been actually very good for Tillamook County. So with our $626,000 of ERA money, we spent about 80% of it through last year. We just are waiting for the paving season right now to finish our other 20%. So even though we had a contractor from Bend, because these are low bids, they bought all the materials locally, our contract and the asphalt and the aggregate. So that's been a good story. But we also had kind of another Cinderella story that we talked about. Over the last couple of years, we had found a road that was sinking in Tillamook County, and we knew we had a problem. We funded with county funds an engineering study to replace the culvert with a bridge, and you'll see that the picture of the culvert at the bottom, which is actually now on the top in this picture, is completely rusted through. And so that's the culvert, that the infrastructure that was failing. So we hired an engineer, and they recommended closing the bridge. Again, there could be a potential of a catastrophic failure. 2 years ago, Tillamook County had a catastrophic failure of a culvert. Two families fell into a river, floated down the river. There were no fatalities, but we didn't want to take that risk again. So we closed the road, and we detoured them through a dairy farm on a county road. So we partnered with the U.S. Army and ODOT, and we built a temporary Bailey Bridge. And so the next few pictures that you see in this packet that I've given you is really the construction of a Bailey Bridge, which is a temporary bridge that we had built over this creek. And the last picture, again, is the workers from the Tillamook County Public Works and also ODOT. And through that, so we actually didn't have any funding for this bridge. And through relationships, again, I think it's relationships from the top, which includes the governor's economic revitalization team, which is department heads and elected officials, all the way down to staff levels at my level with ODOT, that ODOT really knew our story, and they called us on Christmas Eve and gave us a Christmas present of $900,000 of ERA money. So we had a shovel-ready project to go. It happens to be this bridge that we are now replacing that's now funded with ERA money. It goes out to bid March 2nd, which is next week. Bids will open March 25th, and we will have our money, this ERA money, spent then by this fall. So ERA has been very good to Tillamook County. We've been able to replace failing infrastructure, putting people to work locally, even though Travis said they aren't counting the local vendors. So again, it's been very good to us. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Well, we count.
You count
local vendors very highly. So, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Leanne, for coming. And I am staying to listen to you.
Thank you.
But Madam Chair and Committee, you can understand what a great piece of work Tillamook County is doing with our money, both federal and state. And they're very innovative, and they literally pull on their boots and rain gear and get out there and work.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Gary Stockoff. I'm the Capital Projects Manager from Washington County. Washington County was in a little bit different situation, and again, we had about 13 some million, I think, that came to the county as a whole. More than half of that went to the cities. So when it was all said and done, the county itself had about 6.3 million in ARRA funds. Subsequent to that, we had another Christmas present, much like Tillamook did, in that we, after the bids had come in on the transportation enhancement projects, we received about another $440,000, and that went to the Bangs Vernonia Trail, which was a big regional trail that we are administering for ODOT Rail and also Oregon Parks. And so that was a huge blessing for us, and we were able to actually move that project forward, and it's been obligated and part of the funding that we have going out now. As for us, our roads are in pretty decent shape when you probably compare it to the overall group in the state. And so we kind of set out to say, what other things can we accomplish with our money? And it became apparent that we had a lot of transportation traffic-related items that we could do that would make things either safer, more efficient, more cost-effective. And so about two-thirds of our $6 million will have gone to video detection, replacing and adding yellow flashing arrows. We did some school zone safety flashing units, solar powered. We replaced a lot of old illuminated signs, so reduced energy. And because we had such great bids, we were actually able to save about $1 million of our $6 million in bidding. And along with Marty Anderson and the local programs group and Metro, we had already set inside a fail-safe kind of program that if we got to the end, we had money left, we didn't want any of it going back anywhere outside of Oregon, but of course Washington County wanted to keep their fair share. We developed a fallback or fail-safe sweep-up project. I think there's several names being used to do that, but that is our video detection. We will eliminate loops in the roads and put in cameras to monitor the signals. We originally scoped about $1.3 million in projects, which was also Tigered. We worked with the other cities, and they partnered with us, and we administered their projects. With the way the bids are going, we scoped 27. We probably need to add about 6 more. The favorable bids have been very good. We've been able to achieve far more than we ever thought we could. And these are projects, and when it's all said and done, we probably would have never had the money to do if it hadn't been for the ARRA money. And I know we appreciate everything that ODOT's done, and with the time frames that have been given and everything that we had to have done, it's nothing short of a miracle that these have gotten out. Because as Travis said, most of the states did not funnel the money down to the locals. And it's been very, very helpful for Washington County, and we truly appreciate that. And I wouldn't answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you can see, other parts of my district are equally innovative and using our money very judiciously and getting the job done. And I appreciate it because I drive on these roads. And one of the questions I had is, you know that intersection out, I think it's 47, by Banks, just past Banks but before Forest Grove, where there have been some bad accidents there. Do you know if that's slated to get a light there? I know they've done some reduced speed and, you know.
I do not know, and I can check with ODOT because that also may be a state route, but we can check on that.
I think it is a state route, but it's really close to.
I can check on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't remember the name of the road. It's just
excuse me. Yes, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate the work that you folks have done with this money, especially being so transparent and accountable in terms of the results. I know that in the early stages of the distribution of the monies, there were some complaints from locals regarding the timelines attached to the appropriation of the monies. Did those timelines pose kind of unduly challenging issues for you?
I think we all recognized, everybody did, that they did at that mm-hmm. point. But I will say that, again, with ODOT, we had to figure out a way to get to the end of the row quickly. And they were able to put together programmatic approvals for environmental. They batch projects. We did have two overlay projects. We had a rural component and an urban component. We streamlined those because Marty and his group took them right into Salem, brought back a retired ODOT employee, and just plowed through them and got them right out. So I think everybody recognized that we would never get this done if we didn't somehow figure out how to expedite all the processes.
Okay. Follow-up question?
Yes, follow-up.
So given the lessons that you learned in terms of expediting the distribution of these funds, are there lessons that we can apply to other kind of non-emergency or non-emergency projects?
Chair Byer, Representative Edwards. I believe that ODOT is actually spearheading that right now through a study Greg Snyder, Mr. Tyndall has done, working through that with lessons learned from what we've learned with ARRA. Can we move that forward mm-hmm. and look at efficiencies? And so I know that they've involved several folks and clear up to the Highway Transportation Board to get those in place and see how fast we can get them moving.
Okay. Thank you. And yeah, I was going to ask if you had any response to the questions Representative Edwards asked.
Chair Byers, members of the committee. Representative Edwards, I think it's a great question. I think that what we've all learned from this process is that if you're trying to get the money out fast, mm-hmm. especially in a state of Oregon where, you know, not all of us are up to date on our maintenance programs, and the maintenance is the top priority. Depending on the size of the maintenance project, you know, if it's an entire bridge, you're going to need that expedited process in order to meet the timelines. If the reason there's so many smaller projects is because of the timeline. In order to get something out fast, it doesn't require that review. There aren't a whole lot of plans on the shelf in Oregon because the money is going to the maintenance and not to the capital and not to prep because, you know, the Jobs Transportation Act of 2009 was amazingly great, but we're not there with the projects ready to go yet.
Right.
The money is just coming in now. So I think it's a great question, and I think expectations were that, you know, maybe, you know, of the days of the glory days when you can have large projects, but those weren't ready to go. But these are really important to today because we are so far behind in maintenance. So, you know, maintenance being number one.
Yes. Madam Chair, for Tillamook County, the lesson that we learned is also is having a shovel-ready plan. So we are embarking on our next shovel-ready program and partnered with the Tillamook Urban Renewal Area and the City of Tillamook to do another project. So we're moving forward with design with our own money again.
Thank you. That's great.
Just a brief comment. I appreciate the you sharing those lessons learned. And if there are any issues that you think deserve to be addressed at kind of a finer level or require statutory changes, I'd encourage you to forward those on to us. As a committee, I know that we're committed to ensuring kind of the most efficient and accountable process as possible. Gary, you mentioned, you know, the potential to do maybe kind of batch processing of like projects, and if there are other similar efficiencies that we can gain, I'd certainly be interested in hearing about those.
Yes.
Just a kudos to the legislature and ODOT, because I think you're working on a lot of that right now.
Yeah.
With the value engineering that you've required, the practical design, the least mm-hmm. cost planning, every single one of those steps in the design and implementation of a project will help get to those efficiencies that we're striving for, but also the expectations of what size and scope of projects that we can achieve in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So I think you've done the heavy lifting, and I think that talking about how those roll out over the next mm-hmm. 2 to 3 years in the STIPS is going to be an important discussion.
Sure.
But kudos. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today. We really appreciate it, and we're sorry to rush you. And with that, if I can find my list here, I'm going to go ahead and ask Andy, and I should know because I've been in the room with you a lot, Cattugno.
Perfect.
From Metro. I'm sandwiching uh-huh. you in between the counties and cities, so I thought that was appropriate.
Thank you. You hit it on the head, Cattugno. I am Andy Cattugno for Metro, and Travis referred to one part of the federal highway component of the ERA funds were distributed to MPOs and local governments, and we are the MPO for the Portland metropolitan area. It's important to recognize that role as the Metropolitan Planning Organization is shared between an organization called the Joint Policy Advisory Committee on Transportation, which is comprised of local elected officials. Commissioner Peterson is on that committee, as well as mayors and county commissioners from throughout the region, Metro elected councilors, and agency representatives from ODOT, TriMet, the Port of Portland, and DEQ, so that all of the parties that have a stake in transportation in the region make those decisions jointly with the Metro Council. And it's through that process and that group that we move quickly to determine the portion of the ERA funds that were coming to the Metro region to local governments. There were three parts to that equation. We managed the part that distributed money to local governments. A portion of the bill provided funds directly to TriMet, and you're receiving material about how the TriMet funds were allocated. And Travis spoke to the project statewide, including the metro region that ODOT assigned to their system as well. So all three parts of that move forward. We were very interested in really meeting a dual objective with selecting projects and getting them then out the door. The congressional mandate was jobs on the street as quick as possible, and so we moved as quickly as we could to do that. But we were interested in producing projects that had long-term benefit, not just short-term benefit. It wasn't just about jobs on the street. It was about building something that had long-lasting benefit. And while the deferred maintenance aspect that Commissioner Peterson was referring to was important, and especially important because local governments have been dealing with deferred maintenance for quite some time, and the infusion of revenue from the Jobs and Transportation Act isn't going to kick in for a few more years. So this was a good sort of stopgap to allow them to put money into that deferred maintenance and do overlays and things like that. So helping out in deferred maintenance was good and dealt with things like overlays, but that doesn't build you something new and better. We were also looking for projects to build something new and better, and so we were able to find some that could also meet the deadline requirements, but get out the door and get to construction as well. We did projects that did pedestrian improvements, access to shovel-ready industrial lands, road widening, signalization, really quite a variety of things to improve traffic congestion safety and provide livability benefits to the community. So we wanted to hit both objectives, not just getting people back to work, which is important, but long-term benefit was also important. I want to add my kudos to ODOT, and in particular, while money was directed by the Federal Highway Administration to local governments, and our whole process was to figure out which actual projects would be the local government projects, the actual cash flow for those projects goes from the Federal Highway Administration through ODOT to those local governments and local government projects. And many small local governments are not very well equipped to deal with all the federal procurement processes. They're very difficult. And because of that difficulty, ODOT took the burden of meeting the stimulus mandate that half the money had to be out the door within 120 days. They could meet that obligation for the entire state, so that the portion going to local governments could meet the second deadline of 1 year. That gave them the ability to meet those procurement requirements and for projects that weren't necessarily already in the pipeline. Within a one-year deadline, still pretty aggressive, but almost impossible if they had to meet a 120-day deadline. It was very helpful for ODOT to pick up that provision as well. So my message is we did what we needed to do to get the funds out the door. We're part of the 100% success status that Travis referred to. The deadline is essentially now, and 100% of the funds are committed and in effect tied up. They're not fully expended, but they're tied up as far as the federal deadlines are concerned. And so those are just a matter of finishing off the construction projects now. And if they do it again, we'll do more of the good stuff.
Thank you. Any questions? Well, and we hope that we are in such a good position that maybe there will be a little extra coming to the state from other states that weren't quite as efficient as we were. So.
And there's sometimes that redistribution opportunity provided.
Yes. So thank you for
thank
coming.
You.
We really appreciate it. Okay. Whoops. And now I'm going to ask Linda Ludwig to come up and Chuck Mickelson with Ontario Public Works and Larry Patterson, the city manager of Oregon City, Chris Doughty of Redmond, and Nolan Young of the Dalles. And so we'll cycle you in here. So welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Linda Ludwig from the League of Oregon Cities, sitting in for Craig Honeyman from the League. Just briefly, would very much like to take the opportunity to thank ODOT. Their rapid response, as you heard from our county brethren and from Metro, very much enabled the use of these funds here in the state. And as a result, Oregon has not lost, will not lose any of its federal funding, and is eligible to receive unobligated funds from other states. And as you heard from Mr. Cotugno, very, very important to us, it allowed local governments more time, up to a year, for commitment of our projects and to commit our own allocated ARRA money. So what we've seen in the 2009 construction period have been the projects that were state approved. Local projects will not start until this next construction season, and we will see additional job creation benefits as a result of those projects. So with that, I'd like our four city representatives to spend some time talking to you about their projects. Again, Chuck Mickelson, he's the Public Works Director from the City of Ontario. Larry Patterson, the City Manager from Oregon City. Chris Doughty, Public Works Director from the City of Redmond. And Nolan Young, City Manager in the Dalles. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And gentlemen, thank you all for coming. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate being able to hear from you. Go ahead.
Okay, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to attend today. Just by a bit of background, Ontario has a day or a night population of about 11,000 people, but a daytime population of 60,000 to 70,000, being right on the border and being the shopping center for Western Idaho. In 2001, ODOT transferred a good share of the state highway system that was running through Ontario onto the city responsibility for maintenance purposes. Subsequent to that, ODOT constructed what we know as the Ituri Beltline and a number the North Oregon Interchange and a number of other projects in the area. As we're preparing our projects and our capital projects in 2008, we were certainly aware that Congress was considering a stimulus package, and I was able to convince our city council that if we had a job on the books and ready to go, why, we could be in a very good position to receive funding. We were very successful in that, having selected an engineer in early 2009. The Oregon Transportation Commission approved our project in March. We completed the plans in April. ODOT bid the project in June. Project was awarded. Construction started August 1st, and we had our ribbon cutting on December 7th or something like that. There are a number of pictures in there, and it shows what we had before. It was a very poorly maintained and dilapidated, if I can't think of a better word, in terms of pavement, and lacking curb gutter and sidewalk in much of the area. And as you can see from the aerials or from the photos, it turned out to be just a wonderful project. It couldn't have happened without the partnership that we had between ODOT, our consulting engineer, the Federal Highway Administration, the city, and so forth. So it was an excellent project. You know, as in terms of jobs, we certainly had the engineering folks working periodically through the project, the designers, inspectors, and so forth, the suppliers, which I think are really overlooked in the process because an awful lot of equipment and materials on the job and so forth purchased locally. And then, of course, the construction period. And it was a fairly quick construction period. I think, you know, probably no permanent jobs were created as a result of that. However, the opportunity to clean up an area, to set it ripe for economic development, it's an industrial commercial area. This is the first phase of that. If you'll look at the second page of my handout, there is the three different colors of roadways. The purple section at the bottom of the aerial is a project that we reconstructed. The next section, the green section, which we hope to be in a position to take some turnback dollars on, will be approved for by the City Council for design this next Monday night. And so we will be ready with a design project in about 2.5 months. Plans on the shelf. The third project, the upper section, Northwest Washington, is a project that is included in the House Bill 2001. Funding is available. The design is done. We're just waiting for the contract from ODOT and some money to start rolling in so that we can begin acquiring the right-of-way. So we're very much prepared and to step forward. The last project that was included in House Bill 2001 is East Idaho, which is between the Snake River and I-84. It's the commercial area where we have the big box stores, where all the folks come in and shop. The road is getting in poor condition, and we need to change some signalization and so forth, and we're partnering with the ODOT staff who are in the process of designing. The city will be putting in $800,000 of impact fees that were collected, and then the House Bill 2001 will assist with finishing that project. So we really do appreciate it. We thank the committee for the help, and it was a challenge, but we got the project done from start to finish in about 10 months.
Oh, that's very impressive. any questions?
And Commissioner Bentz is the last picture on there at the ribbon cutting. So.
I did like the comment about the temperature. Even the west side are not used to that.
He came out.
It's one of my favorite things about this committee is that you actually see things built, mm-hmm. and you can break ground and you can cut ribbons. So with that, go ahead.
Chair Byers, members of the committee, I'm Larry Patterson. I'm city manager for Oregon City. Oregon City perhaps is a unique example in terms of the use of these stimulus dollars. traditionally, our economic growth has lagged behind our neighbors, and maybe some of you have heard some of our past glories or not, but all of that changed in 2003 when Mayor Norris brought new energy and new vision to Oregon City, but we hadn't turned the corner at that time. In fact, we were still facing a budgetary shortfall and really were on the verge of becoming the first city in Oregon to go bankrupt at the time. So with aggressive budget action and with a dedication to a new economic strategy, we began to turn the corner, and then we were hit with the national economic downturn. So needless to say, these stimulus dollars have really been a godsend to us, and the fact that they have allowed us to save jobs, we've been able to create new jobs, and I think also build a bridge to future jobs. It is helping us revitalize some aged infrastructure, and it's providing us a bridge to future economic growth as well as immediate impact to our community. So I want to talk to you about three projects real briefly. The first is the McLaughlin Promenade project. This was a 7.8-acre park that was dedicated to the citizens of Oregon City from Dr. John McLaughlin. And that was in 1851. Along that, there was a rock wall and a grand staircase that was developed, and in 1938, we received some WPA work to enhance that project. And needless to say, over time, it has fallen on disrepair. We've done the best we can to maintain it, but just time and the elements have taken its toll. So we were awarded ARRA dollars in the amount of $1,065,721, which we combined to add $160,000 of urban renewal dollars to replace portions of the grand stairwell, to replace and repair some of the stone walls, railings, and piers, to replace a portion of the sidewalk and restoration of the tunnel on Singer's Hill, and just a general cleanup of it. This project has employed 31 people for 1,077 hours to date. It is expected to employ an additional 15 people, and we're looking at that project finishing in August. The second project I want to mention is the Warner Milne Intersection and Realignment Project. This is a project that's been on our capital improvement program for a considerable amount of time. We just haven't had the dollars to get to that. Again, we were awarded $900,000 in ARRA funding for this roadway improvement, and again, we're realigning that intersection to aid its functionality as well as its safety. While we were at that and looking at it, we did move $2.1 million in utility work associated with that project. This project has employed 71 people for 5,570 hours. And those are a wide diversity of different types of jobs. That work is underway, and we're expecting that to be finished about the middle of May of this year. Just as an aside to that, too, we're seeing plans now for some of the redevelopment of the Hilltop shopping area, which is adjacent to this road work. Now, whether those two are connected or not, I can't make that, but the correlation there is kind of interesting in seeing that move forward. The biggest project I want to talk about is the I-205 Highway 213 intersection. We finally refer to that as the jug handle. And we are slated to receive $22 million from the Oregon Jobs and Transportation Act because we've been able to link that project to jobs creation. And this is one that has been in the planning stages for a considerable amount of time. We've been working with ODOT, with Metro, and the county, and looking at the development of the old Rossman landfill. That interchange is at capacity today. In fact, I think they're talking about 99% capacity on that at the present time. And without this improvement, these projects, or the Rossman landfill development, is one that could not go forward. The jug handle project itself is estimated to create 100 construction jobs, and that will facilitate the development of the rivers. And since we've done a lot of planning on that, I can give you some jobs creation that we're looking at there. The construction of that project, are looking at 305 construction jobs. Once it's completed, 1,600 permanent jobs. The spinoff of that work is 489 jobs at, throughout the state, most of those being created in Clackamas County. We also, that particular project associated and coupled with the Cove project, we're looking at the creation of possible $800 million of new assessed value in the north end of Oregon City that will transform that community. So we, too, would like to echo our appreciation to all those that have helped bring these dollars to the local area. I think we are putting them to the use that was intended through these pieces of legislation. Thank you.
Any questions? I guess my only comment was how appropriate on the promenade restoration that
yes.
the the money is coming out of a stimulus package.
Yes, we believe so as well. Thank you.
Chair Beyer.
Yes.
And I think one of it is I mean, in this day and age when there's so much negativity about, well, money's not getting to projects and this kind of thing, to see the people that actually work with this and see the results of it to be so glowing of ODOT is a nice testimony, and it's nice also to have the partnership with the cities to be able to get the projects done because you know what projects need to be done.
Our state and regional partners have been very helpful in
that's
making
good.
These projects
that's good to hear.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Chair Beyer, committee members, good afternoon. My name is Chris Doty. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Redmond. I'm honored to be invited to come before this committee today to talk about jobs created through our 5th Street Reconstruction Project in Redmond. Our project was awarded ARRA funds from ODOT via the OTC in their 120-day allocation process in the spring of last year. As you may know, Highway 97 was recently rerouted around Redmond. Mm-hmm. The former highway consisted of the 5th and 6th Street couplet right through the middle of Redmond. You've probably spent a lot of time there mm-hmm. and stuck in traffic over the years. And once the reroute was complete, the responsibility to reconstruct 5th and 6th has fallen back to the City of Redmond to basically restore our downtown. The ARRA funding couldn't have arrived at a better time for the City of Redmond. Having funded significant road improvement projects through our rapidly growing community over the past decade, we didn't have a lot of funds sitting around to reconstruct downtown to the tune of $8 million. And of course, added to that is the high unemployment rate in the Tri-County area, which had led the state at some times. And so this is a welcome windfall of funds to invest in our community. The city, via ODOT, received $3.5 million to reconstruct a one-mile section of 5th Street. The project is currently 50% complete and will be 100% complete by the end of June. We're very fortunate to have a good local contractor, Hooker Creek Companies, as the prime contractor for the project. Virtually all the subcontractors associated with Hooker Creek are local as well. The prime contractor and major subs have employed 62 workers throughout the project so far. That's average monthly. And while these aren't new jobs, they are retained jobs. Virtually all of these employees would have been laid off had this contractor not received this project. In addition to the direct construction workforce that Hooker Creek and their subs have employed, there are about 20 additional jobs that were created through the various contracts that the city has developed for engineering, construction management, inspection, materials testing, and things of that nature. And again, those jobs as well, because of the amount of talent in that area in the engineering and inspection community that's suddenly out of work, those jobs, you know, are retained as well. Those probably would have been layoffs had this project not occurred. So a conservative assumption for indirect employment associated with the project would easily put us in compliance with the benchmark we set for ourselves of creating a ratio of 28 jobs per million dollars invested in this public works project. Now, indirect job creation is difficult to measure. However, the 5th Street Reconstruction Project has many positive economic development attributes, which we feel will create to significant job creation in the future will lead to that. As a revitalization project in our downtown core, we're creating a street that is pedestrian-friendly. It's going to bring people back to our downtown. The area is now transitioning from that highway-centric form of development to something that's definitely the downtown core feel that we desired when we envisioned the reroute project, and that was one of the primary goals of the reroute project, get that traffic out of downtown Redmond so we can rebuild Redmond, recreate that economic vitality, and our urban renewal district has helped supply that area with funds for projects as well. The Fifth Street Reconstruction Project is a near-term success story for the stimulus program. However, the return will be substantial over time due to the compounded nature of the economic development that will occur down there as people come back to downtown Redmond and enjoy their downtown reclaimed once again. Many other cities, big and small, have good candidate projects just like ours that put boots on the ground in the near term, but also provide those economic development opportunities in the long term. And I unapologetically advocate for more expenditures of stimulus funds in cities so that they can do just that. Invest in infrastructure today, create jobs today, lead to economic development opportunities in the future. So in closing, I'm going to echo a similar sentiment you've heard a lot this afternoon. I want to thank ODOT and the OTC for really doing a fantastic job in administering the first round of our projects. ODOT could have easily turned to a formulaic distribution of those funds, city, county, state. They chose not to do that. Instead, they took a little bit of extra time when the stimulus first hit the ground and said, you know what, we're going to look at projects out there and see if there are some good quality projects we could fund rather than just spitting out funds via a formula. And so that's how projects like ours, were funded in this first round of stimulus. So again, kudos to ODOT. And thank you again for the opportunity to be here this afternoon to testify.
Thank you. We really appreciate your coming today. And so we'll bring up Nolan Young so we can replace somebody, I guess.
I'll stay with you.
Chairman Byers, committee members.
Before you get started, I do want to apologize. We have two members who are out today totally, and then we have a number of committees that are meeting at the same time and isn't very well coordinated. So.
Thank you. I appreciate at least one of my friends staying with me as I share the success story from the City of the Dalles. For over a decade, the City of the Dalles has been striving towards solving a transportation problem at our Highway 30 Brewery Grade intersection. This intersection happens to be a primary arterial that serves our regional medical center, our community college, our schools, parks, and a large portion of our residential areas. In addition, it is also part of a freeway interchange and serves as the gateway to our historic downtown business district. 4 years ago, the city purchased a vacant flour mill. The flour mill is located on about 2 acres of property adjacent to this intersection. Because of poor access created by the lack of this intersection functioning properly, this property could not be redeveloped. So in order to redevelop the property, it was necessary for this particular intersection to be improved. The local urban renewal district has committed $1 million to this project. We were able to obtain $2.6 million from the ARRA funding that has resulted in moving forward with the project. All deadlines have been met. The project is under construction. It'll be completed by May 1st of 2010. This particular intersection was a little difficult to reconstruct because we didn't have a lot of right-of-way. We had a hill coming down. We had a hillside on the other side. It needed large retaining walls, and the community is building its first roundabout. By the way, if any of you are interested in how to drive roundabouts, our citizens can now go to thedalles.org, and we have a training video on driving roundabouts. So if you have any questions, we have that opportunity available to you. The project, when completed, will have ended up in over $800,000 in payroll to about 80 different individuals. There will be about 23,000 hours of work placed into the project. The construction includes many local construction workers because a local contractor received the job. when you talk about $800,000 in a community like ours, that money rolls over and over and over. Plus, in addition, we have the vendors that are also benefiting from this project. But the construction of the transportation improvement alone isn't our whole story. Jobs are also being created by the redevelopment of the flour mill. The developer is already creating jobs through the bottling of wine by the glass in partnership with a French company. When the full redevelopment of the flour mill takes place in the next 2 to 5 years, the project will include a co-op winery, a goat cheese creamery. By the way, if we're counting jobs, we should probably count the goat herder, because the goats have already been purchased and are in the process of maturing so they can do their part in economic development for our community. It includes a...
Is that four-legged or two-legged? No.
Oh, let's not go there. I've been in front of too many city council hearings to talk about that. In addition, it includes a retail artisan plaza. It will include restaurants, and it includes a boutique motel. Now, the motel will actually be built in the old silos that were adjacent to the mill. We're told that the size of those silos are almost perfect for a motel room. It will be interrelated with the winery itself, so as you walk in the foyer, you can look down and see the wine doing whatever wine does as it prepares to be consumed, and so it'll just add to the draw of that particular facility. Also, across the street, there's property that will be redeveloped into a brew pub and brewery that has been sitting vacant for years. When all done, there will be about $20 million in private investment that will be able to happen because of this transportation investment. It'll result in some 100 to 150 long-term, not temporary construction jobs, but long-term jobs in our community. Without the transportation investment, this other investment would not have taken place. One last item that second to last item I'd like to report on is thanks for the money that the city is receiving through the 2009 transportation package. When all the funding finally kicks in gear, we'll annually receive about $286,000. This is a little over a 50% increase in the state funding that we're receiving right now for maintaining and operating our road system. As a result of this funding, several projects will not need to be canceled. Without it, we probably would have lost employees in our street department. We would have had to cancel projects, lower services, and as a result fall further behind than we already are on our transportation improvements. So thank you very much for that. As I was sitting here today, I heard discussions of the Connect Oregon 3 program. The City of the Dalles has two projects that we're applying for, one for an airport and one for a marine terminal. As we work through the process, I'd like to take and express appreciation to ODOT. The process is very clear, it's very fair, and it's moving along, and we appreciate that. We hope that we're very lucky also, but the process, when we're done, we'll at least feel that we've had a chance to take and move our project forward, and thank you for the opportunity to come and talk with you today.
Thank you so much. It's been fascinating. So, Representative,
I'd like to make a comment. I worked with the teachers in the Dalles for about 10 years, and when you started to describe the Brewery Road, I go, because especially in the wintertime, it was not always the easiest, but it sounds like you guys are doing wonderful things to really a wonderful city, and the Dalles is not always thought of as a destination place in the gorge, but it sounds like this time you guys have really done a great job, and it's wonderful to hear, because it's a nice city.
Thank you, and it's getting nicer every day.
Very good.
Thank you, Representative.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's been a while since I've been through there, and it's usually just through there, and or maybe get gas or something, and I can't wait to see this finished. It sounds like they took something that was just, like you said, sitting there and being unused, and reminds me of the silo, reminds me of the Eurostop hotels on the freeways in Sweden. And there, inside, there's a whole sort of shopping center for everything you might need when you're traveling. and including the rooms, which are built in a kind of a tubular type mm-hmm. thing, and they're exactly that. They're just, you know,
yes.
right through there. So I can't wait to see it. And I have to ask you, though, how do they bottle wine by the glass?
This is an innovative process that really, to my knowledge, only one company is able to do. They have the only rights in the country to take and do this right now. It's probably a trade secret, so I can't go into much to do with it. But when they're done, they have a regular glass that has just a regular glass that has no stem, but just a regular glass that has a covering on top of it, and you'll be able to buy it in a six pack. They're already selling this in California and other places. So, in the future, when you go on a picnic and you sit down and open up your six pack of wine, think of the Dalles. That's where it started.
Follow up. I was thinking that's what it is. They make an oyster shooter in the glass, and it's covered. It's just a one shot.
Very, very similar.
So
to
you
that.
Could do one of each.
You could.
Thank you. And our community, our planners are enjoying the use of traffic circles, and mm-hmm. We have a two-lane one right in my neighborhood that they were passing out directions and had people out on the streets mm-hmm. trying to help people learn to navigate this. So I love it, but a lot of people took them a while.
Big
so.
Trucks don't like them.
No.
You can get stuck.
Yeah. So thank you. We really the stories have been great, wonderful. Fascinating. It's really nice to see what the dollars are doing out there. So that thank you.
Thank you.
And I know we had a couple other feelers out for people and had not heard back from them, so I want to make sure that there is not someone sitting out in the audience that came expecting to testify. Are you sure?
You sure?
Come on.
Okay.
We still have time. I just as well use it all.
Thank you, Chair Byer, members of the committee. My name is Mike Wendell, the mayor of the city of Prineville. Just two things I can talk about is the our dollars that we made a Second Street egress there at the bottom of the grade in Prineville. And I was here a couple weeks ago, and I told Bruce Warner that we were able to eliminate between 8% and 10% of the traffic off of his major highway through the city of Prineville for less than $500,000. So that was a very good investment, a small project, but we were very successful doing that. I will also tell you that we've been successful with your help in the Transportation Commission on Connect Oregon 1 and Connect Oregon 2. We have our fingers crossed for Connect Oregon 3, but last night I had a business in our council chambers called EnviroTech. They're new to our community and fairly new to the state of Oregon. And they are using our freight depot that we have got Connect Oregon money for. And we worked out a deal last night to lease them a piece of property for the next 20 years. And matter of fact, as of May 1st, they plan on moving their first 10 rail cars full of product that will be produced here in the state of Oregon and will be shipped out of the state of Oregon. So we're very successful with doing that. We continue to move tires through a Connect Oregon project into our freight depot. And lumber also. So our freight depot, our Connect Oregon project has been a success so far, and we continue to look for it. But for once, last October, believe it or not, last October, we actually made a profit. Now, I'm not quite sure if it was a dollar or a dollar 50.
That's okay.
And I told them I would pitch in the extra 50 cents if that's what it took. But our railroad manager he's like, well, it's just 1 month. And I said, well, you got to get to 1 month before you can get to two. So we're hoping and praying that by the end of this budget cycle that we won't lose any money with our railroad and actually try and make a profit. But looking forward to the next year and years to come, the Connect Oregon program has really been beneficial to our community. So thank you very much for that.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Representative Boone.
Thank you. And I hope it wasn't because I was asleep at the wheel, but I think I heard them announce that you got a big contract for Facebook. Is that in Prineville?
Chair Beyer, representatives of the committee, yes, we did. We did. We were able to locate Facebook in our community. Their data center is a $188 million project. They're located up on the hill there. So we were very happy to have them come here. I was just visiting with the city manager of the Dalles because they have Google there. So we were, I know, connection. Yeah, Google, we got Facebook. So anyways, yeah, we're very excited. And, you know, there's been some discussion in the community as far as the tax breaks that we gave them and you know, what does that mean to our community instead? But, you know, I get messages from people all the time that say, you know, I seen four of those construction company vehicles down at the local Quickie Lube or whatever it is getting serviced. And they're using our restaurants and using our gas stations. So it there's more to it than just the tax dollars. It's all the businesses in town, they've been frequenting them, and that's been a really big success for us so far.
And, you know, follow up. I got to say, I don't know so much for Facebook, but for Google and all those kinds of call center places or data centers, you know, they're local. They're not only American, but they're Oregonian. So it's nice to know. And I can't wait to see some of these things. I haven't been there for a long time either, so I'll have to come over.
We will have a groundbreaking, I'm sure.
Okay. Representative Gilman.
Thank you. Welcome, Mike. Happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Mike is one of the two candidates for my position.
Oh.
And so I want you to welcome him to Sagal.
I didn't know you were at Prineville. Well, wonders
that part of the state
speaks.
They have every
well, congratulations.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah. I think we don't have any more questions for you, but we appreciate your being willing to come up and talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see Kelsey in the back, and we have some TriMet stuff, but you don't have anything to add. And I was disappointed that Travis Brower left because I was going to point out that the Department of Transportation was recognized as having maybe the ninth best website, user-friendly website for the ARRA funds.
Oh, good.
Wow. So they're doing a great job for us and for our constituents and for our communities. So thank you again.
To kind of end our session.
Thank you all for coming. It really was a great hearing. Really enjoyed hearing the stories. And have a safe trip back. And we are adjourned. Done.